Okay, our passage today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 through 40. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. When he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. The word of God for the people of God. Okay, we're talking about people in the fine print of the Bible. People that aren't readily talked about or heard. You know, and what we get from this is that the people, you know, in the fine print, you know, it's those people. And y'all okay with the microphone? You know, it's those people, the people in the fine print, you know, that really make up the church. You know, this church and every church is not built or made on, you know, on Jesus Christ, yes. But the church is made on the gifts, talents, and sacrifices of the many, of every one of you. You know, it's, you know, you know, and I know whoever's up here, you know, whoever's in that pulpit, I know that makes a difference. But, you know, and I've seen it happen, and y'all know what's happened here. I've seen it happen in other churches that somebody's up here, somebody doesn't like, and what happens? Bing! Out the door, people go. People, gosh, I want to take you and shake you. This is your church. Yes, this is the church of Jesus Christ. You know, church belongs to Jesus and nobody else. But if there's somebody up there you don't like, stay. This is your church. Don't let somebody run you off. Amen? The church is, you know, depends on you, the gifts, the talents, and the sacrifices of the many. Without you in the pews, without people coming, the church is not or can't be the church. The church needs people to tell people the good news. The good news of gospel. The gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. You know, if you look at the very early days of the church that Jesus built, what you see among other things, you know, where did the churches start? In cities. You know, it was a city thing. You know, you can look at, okay, Ephesians, Corinthians, Colossians, Thessalonians. You know, these were important cities in the early church that the churches started there. And as the people from there, they ran out, you know, to, you know, out to the countries. You know, what did Jesus say? Go to all nations, go to the ends of the earth, go everywhere and tell them about me. You know, that, you know, the thing started in the cities, you know, and then it went out. You know, I love small towns. You know, I don't like big cities. You know, what's one thing I don't like about big cities? Traffic. Yeah, yeah. Where you live at?
North Dallas.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Gosh, the last time I drove through Dallas, it was in the middle of the night, and I was very thankful for that. So I've been through it in the daytime. You know, and oh, gosh, you know, I didn't like it. You know, I don't like, oh, Baton Rouge is a nightmare. Monroe's bad enough, you know. But, you know, the traffic. But, you know, there's, you know, one thing I like about big cities, the only thing I like about big cities, you know, is the little getaways that they offer. You know what I'm talking about? Coffee shops. You know, I love coffee shops. You know, did y'all know Hebrews is moving? You know, Hebrews, our coffee shop, you know, they moved into a little house right down the road from here. You know, I saw on Facebook the other day, you know, we're moving the truck. And I'm thinking, you're not in the truck anymore, you know. But, you know, I forgot, okay, they consider, okay, they're in the truck inside that building. Okay, well, they took the truck. Truck's gone to Monroe. You know, they're doing this food bus thing, I guess. But they moved into a little house down here. But anyway, there's people say that the coffee shop started in the big cities, then trickled down to mom and pop shops, you know, and the small towns. You know, I don't know if that's the way it happened or not. You know, from the big cities down to the small towns. Many, many years ago, there was a movie called Red Dawn with Patrick Swayze. Anybody remember that show? Anybody see it? Yeah, you know, a show. It's probably older than some of y'all here. Y'all know who Patrick Swayze is? Huh? Yeah. You know, and it's not an unbelievable story. You know, it's the United States was invaded. You know, they had, you know, flights, you know, flight as in every day. Flights coming in from all over the world, but some of these flights coming in were loaded with soldiers, you know, and some of them were bombed, you know, and the United States was taken over. But what happened? You know, the big city, they took over all the big cities. Now, the big cities had electricity, but what was it they didn't have? Food. Because where's all the food come from? Small town USA. You know, out in the countries, that's where the food is raised. You know, and there's people that say that people are moving from the small towns or countries into the city to get those little small niches that there's more. Now, I don't see that happen in Louisiana. Louisiana, does that happen in Dallas? You know, in Louisiana, I see it just the opposite, that people are moving out of the cities outside to, you know, get out in the country. Why? Huh? Away from crime. You know, away from crime. You know, a lot in Baton Rouge and Lafayette, they're moving outside the cities to go, you know, out in the country, better schools. You know, if you have less crime, better schools, what is something that you have? Peace. Peace. You know, yeah, crime's everywhere. You know, people hate, you know, it's a fact of life. You know, but people are moving out, you know, because they think it's better, you know, and in a way it is, you know. But the early church, Jerusalem, Antioch, Corinth, Ephesus, Thessalonica, Athens, Rome, you know, these were the cities where the early church started. And then it sprang out from there because they had a vision for everybody to know the good news, the gospel, for everybody to know that God loves them, for everybody to know that Jesus Christ came for everybody, you know, and that's how the gospel story gets out there. How? You, me, the people sitting in the pews, you know, we are the engine. We are the means, the motor that carries the gospel story out there. That is God's plan. Not my plan, not your plan, not anybody else's plan. You know, like Jesus said, take it to the ends of the world. Take it to everybody. That is God's plan. That we have to get on board with God's plan. We have to be on board that God wants to use every one of us individually and collectively as the church. You know, and I asked this question this morning. Think about this. if this church ceased to exist tomorrow, this church wasn't here tomorrow, would anybody in this town other than you miss this church? Huh? You think they would? What are we doing what they would miss? What are we doing that they would miss?
Being.
Sir?
Just being here.
What do y'all think? You don't think they would? What is our niche? That's what I'm getting. What is our niche in the community that we are bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the community? Huh? Me? What about you? I'll put you on the spot. Huh? To me, I don't mean this bad. I don't see where we have our niche, our place. That one thing that we do that nobody else is doing, or something that can be everybody else is doing, but something that we're doing to bring the good news of the gospel to the people out there. And that's God's plan. God's will for your life. And while I was, God, what do you want me to do? God's will for your life. No matter what, God don't care where you live. God don't care where you go to school. I mean, he may. But what God wants you to do, what God cares about, is people. People, their souls, their life. God's will for your life, our life, is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Jesus. And I hope you pray. And I hope every one of us prays. But are we laboring God with our prayers? Is it all? Okay, God, where are they? Where are all these hungry people, Lord God? We need to be fed. Where are all these people, that you need us to tell? And then, before God can answer, okay, bye, God, see you later. Too many times I hear people, do something, and then when it doesn't work, then they go to God. Oh, God, help me. Bless what I'm doing. When what should we have done to start with? Prayed about it before you do it and ask God to bless it. God just may say, hey, that ain't it. How about this over here? A lot of times we pray and God says, that ain't it, this over here. And what do? God, I don't care. I'm still doing this over here. And when it doesn't work out, what do? Oh, God, bless it, please. Before we do anything, pray. That, God wants us to come to him. Bless you. God wants us to come to him with each and everything. That's how you build a relationship with God. But before you do something, pray about it, not after. Okay. I want to mention two words real quick. Visibility and viability. Some people have a very visible role in the kingdom of God. And others do not. And the kingdom has to be viable. But what's something else? The church, this church, every church, the church has to be what? Visible. People have to see the church and know about the church. For the church to be visible, that means you have to be viable. Doing what God calls you to do. Running in your lane. It may be something nobody else can do, but your gifts, your talents, viable, doing what you're supposed to do. So the church is visible. The church will not be visible if we, you, me, the people sitting in the pews, are not viable. That we're not doing what God calls us to do. I said last week, that history has a way of pushing somebody to the top. Nobody here been in the hospital lately. You know, we have a couple of people, you know, in the hospital now. You know, you can go in the hospital, you know, and come out and say, man, I had the most amazing time in the hospital. Hopefully. You know, had the most amazing doctor. But what about all the other people? What about the person that checked you in? What about the person that's in that back office, person you never see, keying your insurance information in? What about them if they don't do their job? Very, very, very important people. What about your nurses? I mean, you know, when Amanda was in the hospital, you know, a few years ago, had a miserable nurse. You know, stunk. Made hospital stay rotten. You know, what about the person that gives you a bath? Miss Jean this morning, where's Miss Jean? Miss Jean this morning said, Miss Janice said her picture, John, he had some little hat on, you know, said he had a big grin on his face, I'm going to tell on him. You know, she said he had just, you know, he had a pretty young girl give him a bath. You know, he had a big grin on his face. You know, what about that person? You know, what about the person that mops and empties the garbage can? Any of those people, they fall down on their job. You may come out of the hospital saying, you know, I had an amazing doctor, but my stay was rotten. Everybody, viable, running in their lane, doing their job, what they're supposed to do. If one person falls down, it breaks the whole thing. What is your lane? What is God calling you to do? What is God calling us, the church, to do? You know, we live in a culture that wants to push that one person to the top. What's the one person that needs to be pushed to the top? Come on, people, this is an easy one. Huh? Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, He is the one that needs to be pushed to the top. What this church, every church needs is to be visible. And to do that, we need to push Jesus Christ to the top. Paul and Barnabas in Lystra, they heal a man. They fall down at Paul's feet. Oh, you're God. You know, and Paul says, no, not me. I'm just an ordinary person just like you. We worship an extraordinary God. It's Him. It's Him doing this. Do we go out with a smile on our face, no matter what? And yeah, we have rotten days. But I have Jesus in my heart. Yeah, I hurt. Yeah, I make noises when I get out of bed in the morning. Till everything gets to moving. But have Jesus in my heart. Sooner or later, everything loosens up. I'm okay. Kind of. But it's having Jesus in your heart and telling people. Okay. getting to our person this week. You know, and gosh, you know, I've had phone calls, text messages. You just started this last week. Phone calls, text messages, and, you know, who's the next person, Aaron? Who's the next person? You know, who's your next person in the fine print? Who's it going to be? I'm lying. Nobody's calling. Okay. Our next person in the fine print, you know, is Tabitha. You know, Tabitha. Acts 9:36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was excelling in acts of kindness and charity, which she did habitually. Okay, Dorcas, her name means gazelle. You know, gazelle, in that culture, a sign of beauty. So we think Dorcas was a fast and beautiful woman. You know, but here she is. You know, she's only mentioned two times, twice in the Bible. But yet, God said, here's a woman, we're only going to talk about her twice, but here's a woman, I want her name in the ever you know, unchanging, everlasting word of God. The grass would wither, the flowers would fade, but her name will forever be in the word of God for all eternity. You can lose everything you have today, tomorrow, but Tabitha's name still going to be in the word of God. Why? Why? You know, it happened at that time. She became sick. She died. They washed her off, put her upstairs. You know, Peter came, you know, he sat down, prayed, and she came back to life. She came back to life. Amen? Now, you know, and what does Scripture say? Everybody believed. Now, yeah, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if we could say every living person in Rabel believed in God, was involved in a church? Wouldn't that be something? You know, when I was down in Patterson, about the same size as Rabel, maybe even smaller, they had 27 churches. Can y'all believe that? What happened? Have a church, they get in an argument, they split. That church gets an argument, they split. That church gets an argument, they split. 27 churches in this town or smaller. You know, so there was churches for everybody. But did everybody go to church? No. Sir?
Evidently not.
No, evidently not. You know, people were mad at each other. But she came, you know, she came back to life. She was dead. She came back to life. Talk about giving a story to tell. Talk about converting, telling people, yeah, you had something. But I bet there were still people that said, hey, I'm waiting for a sign for God for I believe. We see that today. Jesus Christ died, came back to life, and still people say, I want to have nothing to do with church. I want to have nothing to do with God. Why? It's not for me. Has anybody told them, hey, God loves you? But people, think about this. The thing is, every one of you have the same story. Every one of you, at some point in your life, you were dead. You were alive. You've been washed and cleansed by the blood of the cross. You were dead. Now you are alive. We all, every one of us, have the same story. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. Are we telling people that? Are we telling people your story? Not my story, your story. We all have our lanes to run in. My lane's not your lane, your lane's not mine. We all have our own individual story. For the church to be visible, we have to be viable. Doing our part. And what about Dorcas? It doesn't say she was a woman. Doesn't say, you know, it says she was a disciple. You know, up until this point, there were people that thought Jesus came only for the Jews. But here, God is writing this woman in, telling us only twice to tell us God came for everybody. Jews, Gentiles alike. And he came not only for men, he came for women. The first Gentile woman to be mentioned in the New Testament, Dorcas, Tabitha. And here, Jesus Christ is for everybody. No matter what they've done, no matter who they are, we can't write anybody off. We have to tell them. But they have to be told. It's their decision, but they have to be told. We were all dead, but now we are alive. Amen? Are we telling anybody? Are we as a church, are we telling anybody? What is our niche? to tell people that Jesus is alive. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks. Lord God, would be with each and every one of us here, most holy God, that we are viable, that we do the things you call us to do. In your son's name, amen.